Blog Talk Radio.
Family, this is Leslie Gist. You're listening to the Gist of Freedom blog show. I apologize for my hoarse voice, and Mr. Woodrow Nash is well worth the hoarseness. So, Mr. Nash, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Great. I'm going to try to talk as little as possible and allow you to do most of the talking.
Okay.
Explain to the audience who you are and what you do.
Well, again, my name is Woodrow Nash. I guess I'm audacious enough to think of myself as being an artist. I worked in a number of different mediums over the years, first as a illustrator, painter, and now I'm in three-dimension with ceramic sculpture. Presently, I'm out here in Akron, Ohio, originally from New York, but I've worked in the Chicago area and up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. What part of New York are you from?
From the city, East Village, and the Bronx, in the Bronx. I'm not raised, born, actually. Spent a lot of time there. Went to school here in Ohio, then went to art school in New York.
How did your New York upbringing influence your artwork?
Well, I don't know if there was any influence on my artwork. I think that early on I was just one of the many people that you see in New York, I guess, young people without direction. And I've always been artistically inclined, but I didn't really know what I was going to do with that ability or talent, if anything. It wasn't until I moved out to the Midwest and I didn't have the distractions of a larger city where out here I could really formulate and develop the talents and skills that I have today.
When did you find out that you had this gift?
Well, it's always been with me. Early on, I've always had this this natural ability design since art classes, of course, in school as well as college always came easy for me.
Do you remember the first piece that you made?
No, I don't, but I've never really hung my star on what other people felt as far as my ability was concerned. I always thought that I was good. Inside myself, I knew that I was, regardless of what other people were saying. At that time, early on, the idea of being an artist just seemed to be an unrealistic, unattainable goal. And because you always hear the people telling you, well, you know, artists don't make money, or they're going to starve, the starving artist, or if you pursue an art career, you're going to be in advertising or education. But just the idea of being a freelance artist out on your own and actually making a reasonable living, something that is not only realistic but also attainable, I found. Again, it's something that's always been with me, and I've always felt good about innate ability that I've always had. That's like running fast. You know, when do you discover that you can outrun the rest of the kids? And then they ask you, well, how do you run so fast? You say, well, I don't, you know, it's just what I do.
Well, did you ever win a contest or a competition?
Well, for sure, yeah. Well, back in school, I guess in junior high, they had this national scholastics competition that was, what you do in your art class is your art teacher, she submits works that she feels is good or good enough for the competition. It's a national competition, and the people that win, they win with what was called a gold key. I don't know if that's still going on nowadays, or you could win a blue ribbon or something, but the gold key is, you know, what you really wanted. And back in junior high school, I started winning that national scholastics competition.
What was your entry?
It was watercolor painting. Yeah, I had a paper out, and early in the morning, I will say, I delivered papers early in the morning before school, and oftentimes the sun is rising or it's pre-dawn, and I thought some of the scenes that I saw of the city, because Akron is in an area which is elevated. They call it Summit County, so there's a lot of hills. And you can, you know, you could see over the city at some areas. And so I painted a photograph of some of the, not a photograph, but a painting of one scene that kind of stuck in my mind. And
now, what was your experience when you decided to go to college and school?
Yeah, there was a school when I returned to New York. They had on 72nd and Broadway, there was an art school there called Pell School of Art. Its main focus was preparing you for the real art world in New York City, whether you was into illustration or. And I went to New York with my portfolio and, you know, with all these expectations, but I didn't know that everybody else from every other small region in the United States with those similar ambitions embarked on New York City as well. It was a difficult time, not really knowing where to go or how to get your particular product to market. So it was more or less finding your own way. It was an experience.
How many colleges did you have to choose from?
The Institute of Art in Cleveland, I was on scholarship there after getting out of high school. That was a private school that, during this time, we had all these government-funded programs, and I think it was connected with the HUD or something like that, Housing and Urban Development, where they were creating these art centers inside the inner city. And there was this one particular center. It was called the Neighborhood Art Center here in Akron. And I guess it was government-funded, and they were taking inner-city youth at that time, but artistically inclined, and giving them a sense of what it might be like to be an artist. And so one of the things, after being there for a while, I did receive a scholarship to the Institute of Art in Cleveland, which is a top art school. Again, that was during a difficult time. That was during the time in the United States when there was a lot of urban unrest, and the larger society had these, and I guess they still do, have these preconceived notions about what black folks are about, particularly in my case, black artists. And so turned into quite a struggle there at the Institute of Art.
Really? How many black students were in your class?
None. I think there were this is back in the 70s, 1970s. I think at that time there might have been 3 black folks going to the entire school.
A body of?
A few thousand, a couple thousand, I guess.
Anything happened?
Oh, yeah. A number of things happened, but one that comes to mind, I was in watercolor class. And this instructor, I can't remember his name, he was always, I couldn't get a good grade from him. All my grades were always mediocre and everything. And I was always excelled in painting and things of that nature. But I could not get a decent grade from this guy. He would give us these assignments of subject matter. He'd decide what the subject matter would be and blah, blah, blah. And we'd go home over the weekend. We'd work on this project, come back. And then on that following Monday, we would all bring our work in and put it in front of the class, and he would critique it and grade it there on the spot. And I was always getting C's or D's or whatever it is. So this one particular time, I remember I was in a hurry, but I forgot to sign it. I forgot to put my name on it. And this particular week, he singled my painting out as one of the best in the class, and he was bringing out all the highlights and the positive aspects of this particular painting. And at the end, he looked and he says, "By the way, whose painting is this?" And I raised my hand. He gave me a B.
B for black.
I guess. But
okay.
It was, you know, it was frustrating experience.
Now, what would you recommend to a student, a young junior high student who has aspirations similar to yours, but always heard those cliches, as you mentioned earlier, about starving artists?
Yeah.
What would you say to a young person? Because not everyone is as confident as you are.
Well, that's one of the main ingredients in success, is you have to be arrogant. And you have to be self-confident. You have to have those. If you're not, the number of times that you're going to be told to get a job, you know, and your family members are going to think that you're lazy because you don't want to work anyplace. You're following your own dream, and you have to persevere. And I would just. It's something that's attainable, but you have to want it, and it's not easy. It's not an easy struggle. You have to really. It's something that's attainable, but you have to want it, and it's not easy. It's not an easy struggle. You have to really know who you are and feel good about who you are, regardless of what other people might say. Half the battle, I mean, the fact that you can draw or paint well is just half the battle. You have to be able to take that and find a way to get it to market. There's people that are going to be willing to pay money for what it is that you do.
Now, did you have any friends or people that you looked up to while you were young?
Well, I had a chance to meet Charles White and Benny Andrews. These are people that came out of the WPA period and excelled in art during a time when it was very, very, very difficult to really make a living as an artist, particularly a black artist, But there was one gentleman in particular. His name was James Watkins. He was my baseball coach. Back when I was playing Little League. And he sponsored our team, and he was a coach. And the name of our team was Watkins Sign. And because he had a sign company, he sponsored the team, so Watkins Signs was on our jerseys and stuff like that. Okay, so Mr. Watkins, he kind of like brought us along, mentored us, talked to us, but he didn't talk to us about art. So later on in my life, I'm in New York City, and I'm carrying my portfolio to ad agency and everything like that, and I happen to be in the New York City Library doing some research. Come upon a book of black art in America. So I'm leafing through there, and I'm seeing Jacob Lawrence and Charles White, and lo and behold, there's Mr. Watkins in here with all these prominent, famous black artists. And it threw me for a loop because I didn't know that. I thought that he just had a sign company. This guy, early on, had excelled as an artist and was part of this art elite, Elizabeth Catlett and Jacob Lawrence and all these people. He wound up working in obscurity here in Akron with a sign company because he didn't have the support of his family. His wife, I guess she was a librarian and she had ambitions. She didn't believe in what he was doing and everything like that. And so he wound up getting a job at one of the local tire rubber companies. I think he worked at Goodyear for about 30 years. And when I moved back to Akron, I looked him up, and he had a studio up on one of the main drags. It was called the Rage Gallery. And I talked to him about it. I go there, and we talk about art. He talk about his experiences when he was younger with the Afro-Cobras and some of these other art groups that he was affiliated with And he had all these paintings in here. And he used to tell me, he would say, this gallery is going to be all the rage. Everybody's going to be talking about it. This is the Rage Gallery. I was doing a show, and he passed away. And I didn't know it. My wife, she mentioned it to me about Mr. Watkins. His family, at this time I was doing the National Black Fine Art Show in New York and everything like that, and they're always looking for finds, artistic finds. And I knew that he had this huge body of work. And I was going to New York to do the National Black Fine Art Show, and I was saying, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there and see if I can get his paintings and take them to New York with me. His family had a yard sale. And I was out of town when it happened, so I didn't know. And they went in the basement and found all his paintings. And they didn't put any value on it. This was just, you know, some black art, some guy, you know. They were selling his paintings for $10, $15, $20. They were all lost, his body of work. But in his honor, when I started my own studio and my own presentation, I named my gallery the Rage Gallery in honor of Mr. James Watkins. And people think that I'm angry and this brooding artist, you know, the rage, you know, he's full of rage. And and I'm telling them, no, back in the day it had different connotations. It, you know, fashion statement, it's all the rage. It's what people are talking about.
I'm glad you shared it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you close with his family today?
No, I'm not.
They didn't know you then. That's terrible. And the name of the show mm-hmm. is the Antique E Show, the Black
yeah.
Antique Show.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to teach our audience preserve
yeah.
our work. So
yeah.
that stuff like that
yeah.
won't happen. Information out about.
Well, I can be reached. Our web address is www.theragegallery.com. But if you do just a Google search on my name, all that won't come up. Physical address is here, of course, in Akron, Ohio. It's 872 South Main Street. I don't really sell a lot of inventory because of my price points over the Internet. Because unless somebody's really familiar with my work, but just browsing and surfing the Internet, I don't get a lot of sales that way. Most of mine are point of purchase and through galleries.
Okay. Now, describe to the audience what you had on the scene.
No. What you saw was my three-dimensional work, and it's made of clay. It's stoneware, actually. And when I decided to go in this direction, I walked a few shows, and I saw that a lot of folk here in the United States, artists, were making statements in the two-dimension, but nobody outside of the work that you see coming from Africa, the Shona Stone and the wood sculptures, was doing anything three-dimensionally. And I thought that might be an opportunity to make a statement and a living as well, and that's when I embarked on it. So I wanted to reach and say something about who I am and my ancestry being steeped in African tradition and everything, but my whole schooling and trained was from that whole Western school of thought, and I had to fight within to, you know, deal with all these whole Western concepts of beauty and things of that nature that was instilled in us coming up early on in school. So I went and I did research on what was I was really intrigued with, and of course it was what was happening in Africa during the 15th century, during the Benin civilization. and what was going on in France during the 18th century during their whole Nouveau period, and I wanted to combine those two influences. I thought that that Art Nouveau, the organic forms and the lines and the flow, was intriguing, and I went in that direction because of what was happening on the continent over there. Of course, it was Africa, but it had a lot of European influence. So I wanted my work to be African in general, but not specifically. But I wanted to also state the European influence that I can't quite get away from because that's part of who I am now.
Four images I have on the blog show. Four images on the blog show, part of a slideshow. Could you tell us more about the young man in the hood?
Yeah, well, that piece is part of an older series that was, it was contemporary, but it was also tribal. And I wanted to make a statement about the whole tribal aspect of urban youth with the gangs and things of that nature. And the hoodie is a large part of that. But I wanted to also bring in some color because a lot of what they're about and their whole territorial thing is color. So through the I depicted it through the tribal markings and things of that nature. It's made of clay, but it's fired to a stoneware.
And this is all done in your studio, the Rays
yeah.
Gallery?
Mm-hmm.
And how long does it take once you sculpt it?
Depending on the size and the amount of clay, a couple of days.
Okay. What is the name of the young man in the hood?
I did, and his name was Josh Green. And Josh Green, I decided on that because of, now that was called part of a series. And Josh Green was depicted in Charles Chestnut's 18th century novel, Tomorrow of Tradition. He was the catalyst of an insurrection that took place post-Reconstruction in a racially polarized town in the South. And that's, I think that it should be meaningful, what it is that we're saying as artists. Art originally is the original form of communication. And so in keeping with that, I think that any artist should convey some kind of a message. And even if you're not talking to people, artists speak to other artists.
And now I also have a young lady here with long earrings. What is her name? And a tube top.
I think that was part of a larger series, again, known as the Almitra series.
And what does Almitra mean?
Well, Almitra was a character in Galil Gibran's book of prose and philosophy came out during the 60s called The Prophet. And it was really popular some time ago, but I don't know if people are really aware of that. But she, Galil Gibran wrote a book about life, and he was, some say it's a metaphor, or that he was exiled on an island, and he was going back to his homeland, and as he was leaving, the townspeople got together, because he was sort of like a sage. They got together and approached him to leave them with some of his knowledge before he departed, and they were asking him a lot of questions about life, and Almitra stood forward and told him, I asked him to tell us about love. And what about children? And what about death? What about marriage? And for each one of those questions she posed, he came with a really deep and philosophical answer.
Right. I have two more images.
I think the piece that you're talking about is called Romilia. Romilia. And Romilia, along with some of those others in there, the females, were inspired through Nina Simone's monologue.
Four women?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, she goes back into her image from slavery, and she talks about, a number of the women who, well, the first one, and she describes her as her skin tone as being black, and then, of course, during slavery, these females were visited upon by the slave master, and of course, the skin color changed. And anyway, she goes through this whole monologue where over the years it gets back to this rich black color, and she says, they call me Peaches.
My skin is black. My arms are long. Back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sophronia.
Your job, you better see that fine man. Running across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walking across the sand. She'd been a walking 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a blind eyed handsome man. Her destination was a blind eyed handsome man. Trouble with a brown-eyed handsome man. Beautiful daughter couldn't make up her mind between a doctor and a lawyer man. Her mother told her daughter, darling, go out and find yourself a brown-eyed handsome man. Just like your daddy, he's a brown-eyed handsome man. Milo Venus was a beautiful lass. She had the world in the palm of her hand. She lost both her arms in a wrestling match to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. She fought and won herself a brown-eyed handsome man. 2-3 the count with nobody on. He hit a high fly into the stand. Round at third, he was headed for home. It was a brown-eyed handsome man that won the game. It was a brown-eyed handsome man.
Where's my tambourine? Wait a minute.
Get your tambourine. Get your tambourine. What's wrong with you?
You can't forget my tambourine, boy. Wait a minute. This is a folk tune, and it's called Little Liza Jane. We'll get some rhythm started here and see what happens.
Liza Jane. I got a beau, you ain't got none, little Liza Jane. I got a beau, you ain't got none, little Liza Jane. I got a beau, you ain't got none, little Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane.
Liza Jane, Liza Jane,
come, my love, and live with me.
Liza Jane,
I will take good care of thee. Liza Jane,
Liza Jane, Liza Jane,
come, my love, and live with me.
Liza Jane,
I will take good care of thee. Liza Jane, oh, Liza, Liza Jane, oh, Liza, Liza Jane, oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Ham bone, ham bone, where you been? Down by the creek making gin. I know a man that's seen his feet tall. Thinks he's looking as a ball. Saw him just the other day. He had a horse and a bale of hay. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, the Liza Jane. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, the Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane. Oh, Liza, Liza Jane.
Liza Jane, Liza Jane, Liza Jane, Liza Jane.
He took me to this great big town. Lot of people standing around. They were listening to a great big band. The best of music in the land. I tell you once and tell you twice. Enjoy yourself and live a life. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, the Liza Jane. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza. The Liza Jane, Jane, the Liza Jane.